Cool. Next.
Hello and welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio. I'm your host, Sierra, joined by my co-host, John. We've also got my awesome brother, Hunter, in the studio with us today.
Hey.
He just passed his physical therapy assistant licensing exam this week. So
Woo-hoo!
He's a super duper expert in human movement.
Congratulations, Hunter.
Not really. Yeah, he's all excited about that. Gonna get to go into the grown up world of having a job. As he frowns at me. He still has to graduate high school. That's not until next week.
Yeah, with all these people wearing shoes, there'll be a lot of people that need physical therapy.
Exactly.
That's very true.
So we've got some great, exciting topics for you today. We're going to talk about how to get started going barefoot, how to deal with joint pain, and some crazy gimmicks that shoe companies are doing to draw you in. Seriously, you're not going to believe some of them. We're going to start out with our tweets from our barefoot community first, though. Remember, if you want your tweet read on the air, use hashtag barefoot or tweet me directly at Sierra Barefoot. Our first tweet is from AAMI Insurance. They say, this is an insurance company, it's actually safer to go barefoot, that is. They've got a picture, driving bare is the better option. They've got bare feet sticking out of a car window. So glad to see insurance companies that recognize that there are ways to reduce your risk by going barefoot. I think that's awesome. Avalum Nova Skincare, I think that's how you say it, is another company talking about going barefoot. They say walking barefoot for a while will toughen your feet, plus it is an amazing foot massage. Jennifer Nettles, who is apparently some sort of like celebrity or something, she says, my shoot today is from the waist up, hashtag barefoot, hashtag get comfy. And she's got a picture of herself all dressed up from the waist up, and she's in sweatpants and barefoot where the cameras can't see her. I think she's like a news anchor or something because it's like a news broadcast background behind her. Barefoot Mo says, happy weekend. Enjoy going barefoot. Pictures of him barefoot in the grass in his backyard. Another one from Barefoot Mo. He says, chilling in my backyard after my morning walk, about 3 miles, hashtag barefoot, hashtag lifestyle. Page 7 Photography says, the barefoot walk proving very popular over the bank holiday weekend, which was last weekend for everybody in the States. And she's got pictures of a bunch of kids walking barefoot in mud, which is awesome and so fun and feels so good. Sheila Kolsar says, barefoot is best, barefoot is human. Totally agree with all those. Barefoot is best, barefoot is fun, barefoot is healthy, barefoot is human. Absolutely the best. Again, if you want your tweet read on the air, you can tweet me directly at Sierra Barefoot, Sierra spelled S-I-E-R-R-A, or just use the hashtag barefoot so we can find your tweet. Now we're going to jump right in to this crazy gimmick that Skechers, the shoe company, has come out with. They have come out with interactive shoes that let kids play video games with their shoes while they are wearing them. Really quite strange to me to think that you would want to buy your kid video game shoes. My son does wear shoes if we're going somewhere, like, for example, we're at a duck pond and he's sexting in duck poo. I do have him wear shoes for that, but I wouldn't buy him shoes that are intentionally designed to be video. But here's what the article says. It's on Inquisitor.com. These new shoes by Skechers are sure to be a hit among the younger set. As reported by CNET, Skechers is a company that's known for creating kicks with cool lights and funky designs. But the shoe firm has kicked it up a notch with a variation of Skechers kids' shoes that allows them to play the old school Simon game directly on their shoes. The design was revealed at Pepcom's Digital Experience recently, wherein reporter Anthony Domenico was actually able to play the Simon game on both the Skechers shoes designed for girls and those made for boys. The boys' Damager game kicks are already listed for $65 on the Skechers website, which already features a pretty glowing review from a mother whose son was one of the first to receive the special pair of Simon Skechers shoes. She said, We received a pair of these shoes early from Skechers, and my son loved them. They worked great to entertain him during long trips in the car. As a parent, I liked the on-off feature for the sound. Very durable, would definitely purchase again in the future. With a fully functional Simon game on the side of the Skechers Game Kicks shoe, the leather interactive shoes also feature the lights and sounds of the game as seen in the video that they have on this website that I don't have playing because it's kind of got annoying noises. Already one user has asked Skechers when they plan to make the Simon shoes in adult sizes on their website. Tim, the shoe guy from Skechers, answered that adult versions of these shoes are a possibility, but the Skechers Simon version for kids would have to sell really well first. The girls' version of the Skechers Game Kicks also sell for $65 and come in preschool and grade school sizes. This is insane, if you ask me. My kid does not need more exposure to video games.
Exactly.
Shoes are cool to protect your feet, not a gaming console.
At least they named them right, Damager.
Yeah. Well, that's the name of the game, apparently.
Yeah.
Damager. This just goes to show you that the modern perception of shoes is for something that's fun, something that entertainment, not a tool to protect your feet from the elements, which is what shoes were initially designed for. Hunter, as a physical therapist perspective, what are your thoughts on this?
It's absolutely ridiculous. There's no need at all for this kind of stuff. Shoes are meant to be worn to protect your feet, and turning them into some sort of game console is totally unnecessary.
I think it's pretty stupid.
Let's hope it's because kids are wearing them less and they needed a gimmick, but I doubt it.
Hopefully, yeah, maybe the mom says she plays with them in the car. Maybe he takes his shoes off and plays on this, like, shoe Game Boy is what I'm picturing.
I'm just trying to imagine what
you
look like.
Well, there's a picture here on the Inquisitor.com website. So they look like regular shoes from the top. They don't have a screen on them from the looks of it, unless it's like a really tiny screen. But they've got like a start button, a little speaker. There's four different buttons on it to control whatever you're doing. I'm guessing it must come with, like, some sort of screen that's wirelessly attached to the computer in the shoe. But my other concern with these is, you know what kind of gross stuff kids step in? How the heck are you going to wash these if there's a video game in the shoes?
And you're having to put their feet, their hands on their shoes all the time.
Yeah, that's, like,
unsanitary. Yeah, if we're grossed out by feet. Like, as a society, why are we letting our kids play with their feet?
So, yeah, that's what the shoe industry is doing, being ridiculous with this new innovation.
You know, the Surgeon General had stated that anyone that handles shoes should wear gloves.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
see if we can find that statement.
Yeah, I'll look again. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I definitely, it was very poignant. I very much remember it. And it was while I was looking for anything as far as, laws or rules or health codes or whatever. And one of the things said, the only thing out there is a Surgeon General says if you handle shoes, you really should wear gloves. It didn't go into too much detail. I remember.
I found an article on shoelessliving.blogspot.com recommending that the Surgeon General issue a warning that kids don't wear shoes because they can misshape your feet. But I didn't see any warnings about the Surgeon General issuing a warning about handling shoes. Lots of ones were... Oh, here's one about diapers. That's lovely. Disposable diapers may also be linked to... That's gross. That's pretty gross. pretty much everything we're putting kids is killing them. That's lovely.
Lovely.
Shoes, diapers. I'm all for cloth diapering, but I know most people don't love the idea of washing everything that their child is urinating and defecating in.
I'm getting older. I might have to watch out. I might be needing diapers.
Well, you've got at least 20 years before you'll need diapers.
That's one thing that's hard.
I sure hope so.
The older people that are in diapers. You don't have to change diapers as a physical therapist, do you?
No, but I do have to help them stretch.
Lovely.
Stretch the diaper or stretch the...
Stretch while wearing the diaper.
Sometimes the diaper stretches with them.
Sometimes.
Lovely.
Okay.
Lovely. So on top of Skechers having this crazy video game shoe gimmick, there's another company that has come out with a what I think even crazier idea for shoes. This article is from newsforjax.com, Jax being Jacksonville, Florida, where it's from, and
where
Hunter and I both lived for
quite a long time.
6 years. Anyway, my heart belongs in Jacksonville, so news for Jax. Relieving knee pain with mobility shoes. If you're a regular listener, you already know how I feel about this topic. But here's what the article says. It's written by Jody Moorman. She's the managing editor of Special Projects. I would definitely say that this is special. so she says, according to the Centers for Disease Control, 1 in 2 Americans will develop knee osteoarthritis at some point in their lifetime. And if you suffer from this painful joint disease, you know how challenging it can be to stay moving. But what if changing something as simple as your shoes could cut down on knee pain without medication or surgery? I'm just going to pause right there. Yes, to have something. Because your shoes are the cause of the problem. But here's the solution they've come up with. Every step you take puts 5 times your body's weight on your knees and joints, but for those with osteoarthritis, the pressure can be unbearable. When that pain won't go away, it's debilitating, says Jim Harvey. For Harvey, the pain began decades ago while carrying his 2 young girls. I missed a step and felt something go on my knee, he said. Harvey considered surgery, but instead enrolled in a new study that did not involve a trip to the operating room. We hope that if we can reduce load in some way, load being the amount of weight that your joints have to carry, that we will prevent progression of arthritis and improve pain, explained Najia Shakur, MD, Associate Professor of Medicine and Rheumatology at Rush University Medical Center. Prior research shows walking barefoot is the best way to reduce loads on knees. So there you have it. This article right here with medical advice. Walking barefoot is the best way to reduce load on knees. But we found something different. That's where the new mobility shoe comes in. We've designed the shoe to essentially mimic being barefoot. Anyone who's tried these minimalist shoes knows they don't perfectly mimic being barefoot. They're still a bit of a something. So she says you would have some protective cover on your foot, but you would get a very natural barefoot-like gait, walking pattern. Yeah. Results show after 6 months, participants saw an 18% decrease in joint load without drugs or surgery. You may also find relief by just looking at a flat, flexible-soled shoe. Go out there and find a shoe that bends. See if it sole bends and try it out. For Harvey, it's been life-changing. Now I don't want to take them off, he said. It's a simple shoe that is making life more comfortable. Mobility shoes run between $129 and $149. You can buy them on themobilityshoe.com. One of the most common forms of arthritis is osteoarthritis. It occurs when the cartilage on the ends of the bone starts to break down, and that makes the bones rubbing together and damages the joint. It's really most common in the knees, neck, lower back, hips, and hands. Millions of people have this. It gets worse with age and doesn't have a cure. You can make osteoarthritis worse by initial joint injury, just makes it worse, being overweight. and they diagnose it with x-rays, labs, and physical tests. The goal of the patient is to manage the pain. So since there's no cure, they recommend weight control, exercise, physical therapy. That's where Hunter will come in, recommending these these mobility shoes to his patients. Hopefully not. But the doctor who designed these said it was specifically made for patients who suffer from a whole bunch of different conditions that reduce ability to move, and it will provide comfort to them with special rocker soles, removable inserts, and an open box. Again, like they said, going barefoot is the best way to fix it. I don't know why they need to have so many crazy things on here. We do have a caller on the line. We're going to go ahead and bring him on the air. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, this is David Rocklitz. We talk on Facebook.
Yes. How is your barefoot journey going, David?
Oh, it's going great. And, you know, shoes can, reduce, give some arthritis from what I heard.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for other people who are starting out going barefoot, how they can get more courage going out barefoot?
Well, I would, start off, taking it, slowly, like in the summertime, bring, flip-flops or some pair of shoes in case of an emergency, because by me, there's, some people that are prejudiced about barefooting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
Well, thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. And
did you have any other comments or advice?
Oh, I just, wanted to, tell you that, last week I, tried barefoot in that, Great America, and nobody, seemed to care, luckily.
That's awesome. I'm glad you're able to do that.
And,
for you.
Oh, and, what I do to, keep my folks from, seeing my, dirty feet, I just, went and, cleaned them off in the bathroom. The old-fashioned way.
Always a good idea, yeah.
You don't want to walk in and track whatever crud you've got on your feet.
Until... I have a carpet at my house that I'm not too keen on fear of stepping on.
Wear my flip flops inside the house, so and nobody would see the bottoms of my feet. So
it's kind of a shyness thing that when you start going barefoot, you got to kind of overcome the shyness factor. People seeing you barefoot, I think that's the biggest challenge for most people when they first start out going full-time barefoot in public.
Well, and I think it's hard because we're trained as a society here in North America that shoes are part of your clothing, especially not so much when we lived in Florida, but when we started to live up north, people would look at us like we were, like we were insane because we're going without shoes.
Especially in the winter.
You are insane for doing that. Yeah,
One thing I want to add is that I did try standing barefoot in the snow, but I was thinking that tingling feeling seems kind of weird.
It does take getting used to, for sure.
And it's just I didn't want to end up with the black foot that Adam Sandler did in Mr. Deeds.
Well, yeah. Black feet are, I think, worth it for the benefits you get from... you're talking about frostbite black foot, not dirty black. Yeah, that's...
Frostbite, maybe not so much worth it, but...
But yeah. Yeah, it takes, depending on the conditions and your own personal circulatory system, you can develop frostbite in anywhere from under a minute to not at all, depending on what the conditions are. So yeah, just if you are out there in the winter going barefoot, which hopefully nothing that any of us have to deal with at this time of year, but in the snow, just be careful, be aware, have emergency shoes with you.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, David. We do need to take an ad break, so I'll put you back in the on the listener's line. Thanks for calling in. When we come back from the ad break, we will have more advice on how to start going barefoot, and we've got a letter from one of our listeners that we will be reading on the air, so stay tuned for that.
Are you confused about what to do to get started on your path to preparedness? My book, Making the Best of Basics, Family Preparedness Handbook, is the number one all-time best-selling book ever on helping people become prepared or getting better prepared. Get a copy of my book. You can get it through Freedomizer Radio by going to makingthebestofbasics.com. Pick out what you'd like to buy. There are a number of alternatives. All Freedomizer Radio listeners can get it for one-half price, special offer. When you're ready to check out, go down to the discount code, type in present, because it's a present I'm making to you, and it'll automatically discount the price by 50%. Such a deal. And you can learn more by listening to Dr. Prepper, CPR, Critical Preparedness Radio talk show at Freedomizer Radio.
Have you become overwhelmed by the information overload of truth? Discovering the hidden agenda behind our societal structure can be tolling on the mind, body, and spirit. But awareness is the first key for change, and we're living in a time where this awareness spreading through society is crucial. Join us this week on Higher Frequency Radio Show, which is all about helping to make the world a better place through truth and love. Here we can discuss, share, expand, grow, and gain wisdom as we explore many topics ranging from alternative news, health and wellness, to esoteric and metaphysical realms, and all things spiritual. Higher Frequency Radio Show airs on Sunday nights from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Pacific, only on Freedomizer Radio. I'm your host, Becca Coven. Come discover the light.
This video with others. An important message. from our new generation.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Welcome back to Barefooted Legal Radio. I'm your host, Sierra, joined by my co-host, John. John's going to go ahead and tackle an article from DoTheFashion.com on how you can bring the barefoot revolution to your everyday world. Take it away, John.
Thank you, Sierra. As Sierra mentioned, this is on DoTheFashion.com, and it's a talking about DIY, bringing the barefoot revolution to your everyday world. And it says, a while ago, Do the Fashion brought you a post on the barefoot revolution that has steadily built admirers across the world and forced major players in the global sports apparel market to reevaluate their designs and marketing strategies. So I guess like putting games in their shoes. So it goes on then to say, well, we won't go into that now, but I am here to remind you that the hurricane of the Romani of Mexico, which I referred to in a post, is a great pair of sandals for the summer. Guess what? Summer is here, and it has been a while. So I guess they're just bringing this back up. They've went over it before. Another bit of obvious and interesting news is that hurricanes are an easy and fun DIY project. At the same time, they are inexpensive and fashionable. Then it goes on to say, amazing additions that hurricanes may make your summer style, and it says you can change the color of the laces almost every day with very little, no cost. Since you will be making them yourself, the pair will be custom made to the contours of your feet. You will not have to worry about oddly shaped sandals with points sticking out. It is the lightest footwear you can wear in terms of breathability, saving your feet from the stink that arises from the humid Indian summers. Then it goes on, they have a video that you can see out at the website, DoTheFashion.com, that they're going to go into. It says, what are you waiting for? Let's be the guide to your week and project, and let us know what you think. I'm writing this now. And not for a Saturday, so you'll have no excuses. So they're pretty much just telling you to go out and make these things. I know some people do like these. To me, I don't really see that much of a use for them. Sierra, what's your thoughts on that?
I think they're good if you're working in an office job or someplace where you have to wear shoes. I know before I had my son, I was working in a call center, and they had a requirement that you had to wear shoes. They couldn't be flip-flops, but anything else you could wear. Something like these Huarache sandals, I think is how they're said. I think it's a Mexican sandal. It's what the Zero Shoes, if you go to zeroshoes.com, X-E-R-O shoes, that's what their design is based on. And then they also sell the sandal making kit, if you don't want to get that DIY, do it yourself from like a piece of leather and some string. But they sell kits for these same types of sandals. And there are ultra marathon runners that run in these types of shoes over their, you know, their rocky terrains and things that wouldn't be safe to run in barefoot. So, I mean, I think it does have some definite practical uses. And for, you know, for someone who is wanting a minimalist type shoe for work or school or whatever, somewhere where they are required to wear shoes, I think this is a great option to still have healthy feet, still have them open and able to feel the contours of the ground, because it's a very thin sole. It's maybe like 3 or 4 millimeters thick. It's not a very, you know, typical flip-flops you get. They're like at least half an inch thick usually. You can't really feel the ground through those even. But these sandals, they're very thin sole, hardly any structure, so you're still going to be getting the full range of motion from the muscles having to hold up your body and support you. The sensory input will be reduced a little bit, but it's much better than other shoes that are on the market, especially video game shoes. Much better than those.
Yeah. And from that perspective, I do see it. I know there are times, I guess I was being a little facetious there. That there are times you do have to have something, and this probably would be a good alternative to just make something yourself that would be very lightweight and, you know, as you mentioned, the soles not being, you know, but a couple millimeters thick would be a good way to go.
Absolutely. So we do have a letter from one of our readers, Emily Reinhart, here. She says she's not going to be able to come on the air today, but here is her story. She grew 6 inches in one summer at age 13. She was wrapped in knee braces for years after that. She rollerbladed. Oddly, that did never make the pain worse. She rollerbladed everywhere, climbed trees despite the pain, and wrestled her friends when the pain was minimal. Her knees would collapse. She'd randomly crumble mid-walking around campus, wake up in excruciating pain that 400 milligrams of ibuprofen wasn't strong enough to relieve. That's two extra strength ibuprofen is 400 milligrams. And she says, keep in mind, I was in my early teens. You try not to go above that dose in a chemically changing body. And I had to sit out a lot of things I wish I could have done with my friends. After my teenage years, the pain was still frequently active, though the braces weren't worn anymore, as they only seemed to make it worse. Doctors told me to stay off my feet as often as possible to keep the inflammation down. Not moving around only made the pain go from dull ache to screaming sharp pain. You can't tell an energetic tomboy to sit still. The last 6 years, I got a job 2 miles from my home, and the person who owned the working car was removed from my life by my choice. So I'm guessing a partner's or previous relationship. owned the car and left. She said her bike was too rusted to fix, so she set it out front with a free sign on it and gave it away. Her mode of forced transportation was to walk, the complete opposite of what she'd been told to do for 13 years. The first year, she hadn't walked that speed or distance as barefoot for so long. She opted for Birkenstocks, which, she says, they scoop and trap dirt, then debris, and except for the arch support, it's like walking barefoot on a smooth, dirty sidewalk. She ached, her knees needed massaging, ice wraps, and they crumbled below her relatively often, nothing she wasn't used to. But somewhere along that first mark, they began to strengthen, and I kicked off the sandals most of the distance. There were a few areas that bared skin would be asking for diseases. My legs had gotten strong enough to take the impact of walking 4 miles a day. I was walking 2 miles in 50 minutes. By year three, I was walking 2 miles in 45 minutes, loaded with a backpack containing a near-professional level camera, gear, laptop, lunch, water, and other geek tools I used at work, adding an extra 40 pounds to my body. I found alternate routes that permitted barefoot walking the whole time, including several steep up- and downhill movements, and had less traffic. Originally, I was walking the highway through town. By the end of year three, I hadn't felt pain in my knees the entire year. My pace was faster, my gait was longer, my back, shoulders, and hips were toned, best shape I'd been in since I was 10. Now 31, I don't walk to work every day, but I hike every weekend, walk for my coffee breaks, walk to Old Town a mile away every other week or so, and my knees are still strong. I re-injured one a few weeks back, but refused to cave into it. I went for long barefoot walks for 4 days in a row. Injury healed. So I think that is an amazing testament to how going barefoot can fix your problems. You don't need these special barefoot mobility shoes that are over $100. You can just take off your shoes, walk barefoot, and your body will be able to heal itself. Hunter, what are your thoughts on that from a physical therapy point of view?
Well, I definitely think that part of it may have been, as we talked about, it was either last show or a couple shows ago, it's important to exercise your muscles, and part of the pain she may have been experiencing may have been from that just being stiff down there all the time, and definitely, I think walking barefoot helped her in her particular case. I don't know that it would help in every single case. We have to remind listeners that this is just one case. But if it sounds like your issue, definitely try it out. I would recommend walking barefoot maybe in the later stages of rehabilitation, maybe not at first, because there are more appropriate things to do before you start having someone with very chronic knee injuries just going and walking around all the time. But it definitely helped in this case.
Absolutely. And that is something that's important that you bring up, Hunter. If you have a chronic injury and you are needing some sort of physical therapy help with it, you should follow your physical therapist's advice so that you don't re-injure yourself or make your injury worse.
Yeah.
Because that is a risk you run by pushing yourself too far or too hard.
Physical therapists, we are trained to do this, so you can trust us.
Yeah, you have a nice little certificate showing that you know what you're doing. Whereas people who are on the internet don't always have those qualifications. So feel free to take everything I am saying with a grain of salt and talk to a doctor.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I mean, when people listen here, we're going on experiences, and not everybody is going to be the same. You know, it's just like if one person has the symptoms of a cold, another person shouldn't just start taking, or something, you know, worse than a cold, start taking medications that are exactly the same. It could be completely different. But I know for me, when I started walking mostly barefoot, was with a plantar fasciitis issue, and it solved that, but also it got rid of knee, back pain, hip pain that I didn't really even realize I had. I just thought it was part of normal life, you know, just to kind of ache, and all of that improved for me.
Mm-hmm. And I think it would, because walking barefoot, just walking, even with shoes on, but walking barefoot especially, because your feet, unless there's some sort of condition with them, they are meant to provide proper balance and support for walking. And so, by doing that kind of exercise, you will feel less back and hip pain. So definitely, John, I definitely think that that is something we should be recommending to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stay away from the crazy gimmicky shoes.
Personally, I went to Edmonton a while back. I went downtown to the mall, and I went to Atmosphere, and I tried on one of those Zero shoes, and they're gross. I don't like
them.
They're weird. They have, like, rubbery, like, they're rubbery, and I just...
Well, so you sure. I personally don't enjoy wearing Zero shoes, mostly just because I don't enjoy wearing any shoes.
I don't know, they kind of look like space alien feet to me. Like, I get weird looks when I wear them.
Well, yeah, but they're actually quite popular in Edmonton. I had two guests on last fall that were from Edmonton. They were ultra marathon runners, and they wore their Zero shoes everywhere. They even trained outside in the winter in their Zero shoes, which I think is awesome. Great idea for protecting your feet from that frigid sub-zero, minus 40 degree Edmonton winter.
Definitely wearing some protection in the winter is more than advisable. If you're going to be running in the winter barefoot, don't.
Get a treadmill.
Did I hear some sarcasm behind that, Hunter?
Yes, you may have. But yes,
brotherly love
barefoot
there with her sister.
Yeah.
What's next up here?
I do have another article about some insane shoes. Another insane gimmicky shoe.
Oh, I've definitely heard about these.
Light up shoes for adults are here and they're amazing. This is from BuzzFeed. They say, very important shoe announcement. Light up shoes are back. The ones that have lights in the heels that, like, the lights light up when you walk. Yeah, apparently they're back. Julianne Moore has them and wore them on the red freaking carpet. Like, she had high heels with light up shoes in...
Light up
souls and wore them on the red carpet. And now you can too. Yeah, these are slightly disturbing. They're like the sneakers that you wore as a kid with the light up shoes in them. They're $500. $491.12. Available at simulationsoul.com. there are other options available on shopjean.com for $95.
Oh.
Yeah. No, thank you. If you want to wear some light-up shoes, feel like a four-year-old again, go for it, I guess. I think you're nuts. Each their own.
Maybe they could make some light-up shoes that are like your dashboard, you know, like the damage you're doing to your feet. It'll light up and let you know.
Oh, ooh,
that'd
yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Have a little knee pain button that lights up. Oh, you're walking wrong. Knee pain alert injury.
Maybe. I don't know. You might want to Google this later. I think they actually might have some shoes that outlying physical therapy, like just not very mainstream physical therapy stuff. But there are pressure sensing devices that we use in physical therapy to test where the pressure is on your feet. And depending on how you walk, it can be really, it can hurt you. And so by having them go on there barefoot and then having them go on there with shoes, you can see the difference. And it's kind of like the Dr. Scholl's thing. The Dr. Scholl's that you go in at Walmart or Target when you go and step on there, and it's like, this is where the pressure is in your feet. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, I found an article about them from techscan.com. They're called FlexiForce sensors used in an eye shoe. It's an interesting technology. They use it to correct problems by providing sensory stimulation to the feet, which, again, you can receive by going barefoot. all these crazy medical innovations that can be achieved by going barefoot. Funny how that works.
Well, and I think
the sensors are already there, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. You don't need a computer to tell you something your brain can, unless you're maybe brain damaged. I don't know. Maybe it's for people with Alzheimer's and diabetes, so their brain is no longer, I don't know.
I think, they're tools. And one of the things that I learned in physical therapy school is that the closer you can keep it to natural movement, the better. So there's no need to get all this fancy equipment. If you can correct the problem without doing all this crazy stuff, don't do it. And I think we see a lot of doctors now, a lot of physicians, that are doing stuff like that. Like, we don't need, there's a lot of crazy stuff out there that we don't need. Like, you don't need the newest crazy little technologies. Simply tracking your diet will suffice to help you lose weight, or just eating healthier. You don't need these crazy little computer tests. They do help. Like, I currently live in Salt Lake, so, you know, going out and just running around barefoot in the winter, again, not very advisable. So doing things like that in the winter can help, but if we already know how to correct the problem, we don't need to do all this fancy technology. So just going barefoot is helpful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, isn't it amazing that we're now learning this, you know, after all the years that I think it's almost the arrogance of humans to say we can do this better than how we were built. You know, we're not gonna do it that way. But I think we're finally coming around.
I definitely think we are.
Let's hope so.
I think that's a lot of what the barefoot running movement has been about, is to get back to what's naturally good for you. Because, yes, there's all these problems that are caused by wearing shoes, but you don't even have to go barefoot all the time to fix them. Just going barefoot on your, like, 5-mile run in the morning, which I actually have friends that go run 5 miles every morning. Kudos to them. I do not do that. But, like, if you run barefoot, it can fix the problems that are in your joints and in your...
Well, I don't know that fix, but it definitely is a... Definitely physical movement and a lot of chronic injuries can help reduce the pain a lot of times. And I think that's what we're looking for. It won't fix it. Running is not a cure for anything except cholesterol. Well, not cholesterol. except fat.
Obesity.
Obesity is the only thing in general health, and maybe respiratory health, but it definitely is something that can prevent. It can be a preventative action, but it won't cure anything so much as it will lessen the pain.
Right.
Exactly. But it does have benefits over wearing shoes while running because it doesn't create an unnatural movement. We have an article here that we're going to kind of seg you into from modernathlete.co.za, which is a New Zealand website. I just said ZA. I've been in the States too long. ZA in Canada. But it's called Dare to Go Bare, and it talks about some scientific studies into barefoot running. They say to run shod or to run bare, that is the question to ask your feet. A new research is pointing to the fact that barefoot running might not be the solution that some people claim it to be. Throughout human history, people have run barefoot. But in recent years, that barefoot or minimalist running has really become popular, as coaches and therapists saw that running without traditionally built-up cushioned shoes seemed to have a positive effect on injury-proofing and making their runners more efficient. That sparked a massive change in shoe construction as minimalist shoes flooded the market. But scientific research has yet to reach consensus regarding the risks or benefits of barefoot running. Advocates of the bare feet argue that traditional shoes promote an unnatural, hard-heeled strike, whereas running barefoot promotes a healthier, more efficient midfoot or forefoot strike pattern, thus reducing the risk of repetitive stress injuries. And that is why Nicholas Tam, a doctoral student at the Exercise Science and Sport Medicine Faculty of the University of Cape Town, undertook a study of barefoot running last year for his PhD. He says, "We recruited 30 traditionally shod runners running in normal cushioned running shoes who consented to progressively increase their barefoot running over an 8-week period, starting with walk running and aiming to be able to run 40 minutes barefoot by the end of the study. We started them on the indoor track at the Sports Science Institute, then moved to a hard-packed grass track, and from there onto tar. We tested their biomechanics, kinematics, and kinetics, including joint angles, hook strike patterns, stride length, loading rates, and more, and we also did electromyography and muscle strength testing, first in normal running shoes and then in barefoot conditions, looking at our before and after running economy." Nick says that all of his test subjects could run 40 minutes barefoot on tar by the end of the study, but his research kicked up some interesting findings. All the pro-barefoot research was touting initial loading rate, the force as the foot touches the ground, which is increased by the heel strike pattern promoted by traditional running shoes. So we wanted to see if the athletes could reduce their loading rate without us instructing them. But we found that when athletes who run in shoes take off their shoes, they tend to still heel strike, not just automatically become midfoot strikers. And that is something that we've touched on before on this show about how when you transition to going barefoot, you do have to be functionally aware of how you are running, or you will become injured. He says approximately half of the group remained largely heel strikers, despite a slight change in foot strike pattern, and thus their loading rate remained high. Another quarter showed a favorable response, landing on the forefoot or midfoot, and thus reducing their loading rate, but the remaining quarter actually landed on their heels even harder with higher loading rates. What we found is that the 25% who responded positively used a different muscle recruitment strategy, with more work done by the quads and glute stabilizers and less by the hamstring. We also found that when running barefoot, the athletes tend to flex their ankles more, so the ankles became more of a shock absorber than the knee, which had done most of the shock absorbing when they ran in shoes. The most telling finding of the study, however, was that those runners who went back to running in shoes showed no marked change in running efficiency, while those who continued running barefoot could see an improvement in efficiency only so long as they continued barefoot. This begs the question whether running barefoot some of the time or in minimalist shoes to supplement your training in normal shoes will actually be of any benefit. According to this study, it won't. So I recant my previous statement where I said that going barefoot some of the time can fix your problem. Apparently, it can't, according to this new study that was done in New Zealand.
Actually, it was done in South Africa.
Okay, it was published in New Zealand.
No, it was published in South Africa. VA is Afrikaans, is South Africa.
Okay, apparently I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's an all or nothing thing, apparently.
Go there or go home.
Yeah, I kind of agree that, you know, I've seen different articles that talk about, you know, walking barefoot, running barefoot, and they'll or even with the earthing, they'll give a timeline that if you do it X number of hours a day or whatever. And I'm wondering, how did they come up with this? You know, where's the science behind it? You know, to me, if you're designed to do something one way, you can't just do it part time.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Hunter has had to leave us. He has some appointments or errands he had to go to. It was great to have him on the air with us and providing those insights. Great to have a physical therapist person in my family that I can always just be like, hey, come on my radio show. We do need to take another ad break. When we come back, we have more crazy things from the footwear industry. I've got an article from the Oakland Press, going barefoot and flip-flop advice from a podiatrist, and another article from BuzzFeed, how to wear high heels without killing your feet. I just think these are funny. The fact that they have to give you articles on how to wear shoes without getting injured kind of goes to show that they're not meant to be worn without injury. So stay tuned for that. Hopefully you'll get a kick out of it as much as I did. We'll be right back.
I'm Angie Morelli, and I'm with GMO Free Vegas. So what are we going to do about this now? Well, to begin with, we advocate the labeling of genetically engineered food, or foods with GMOs. Regardless of how you feel about the GMO issue, we can agree that we should at least have a choice of being informed about what we put into our bodies. We won't have a choice until these foods are properly labeled. We must remember who we are fighting in this battle. We are fighting corporations selling us poison, backed by corporations making us poison, and these corporations will only respond to one kind of vote, the vote that we make with our dollars. Recently, Yoplait faced so much criticism over high fructose corn syrup that they removed it from all of their yogurts. Right before and after the March Against Monsanto in May, we saw major corporations like Whole Foods, Target, and Chipotle make major announcements about deciding to label and or phase out GMOs. This is happening because of us, because we will solve this as making demands as consumers first. Starting right now, we're going to boycott corn. This is all you have to do, is don't buy corn. Corn on the cob, corn in a can, corn in a mix at a restaurant, any visible kernels of corn. All we are asking for people to do right now is to boycott corn. This is going to be a clear, completely simple message that will definitely get back to its makers. We won't stand for poison. We won't stand for cronyism. And that is why we march against Monsanto.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
tuning in to the fine programming here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. This is Colleen Harding, host of Project Socrates. Tune in every Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, where I explore the intersection of law, medicine, and government. I aim to bring to you news that you can use, as well as groundbreaking interviews from experts in their collective fields. I'm on the air live for 2 whole hours every Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. See you then.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Welcome back to Barefoot is Legal Radio. We've been talking about some of the crazy gimmicks that shoe companies are doing and some of the ways you can get started into transitioning into going barefoot. We've also read a study from South Africa that talked about being barefoot pretty much as an all or nothing kind of thing, where if you're not going to do it all the way, it's not going to benefit you. We're going to transition back to kind of talking about shoes and the damage they can cause to your feet. I've got an article here from the Oakland Press, Going Barefoot and Flip-Flop Advice from the Michigan Podiatric Medical Association, basically talking about the damage that shoes can do to you and going into totally going barefoot too fast. John, why don't you tell our listeners about this article?
Sure, I'll be glad to. And again, the article is Going Barefoot and Flip-Flop Advice from the Michigan Podiatric Medical Association. Medical Association. And it says, during the warmer weather, our feet tend to be frequently exposed to the elements as we wear sandals, flip-flops, and are often barefoot. During this time of year, we see many foot injuries or other problems due to non-supportive footwear and barefoot walking, said Dr. Jody Stenstock, past president of the Michigan Podiatric Medical Association. Pool areas where public showers are home to infections such as plantar warts and athlete's foot, while the sun's powerful rays can cause sunburns. Podiatrists, this is like the Peter Biker thing here for me, I guess. Podiatrists at the Michigan Podiatric Medical Association, MPMA, have some advice to share that can help prevent harmful conditions to the feet. It's saying here limit walking barefoot as it exposes feet to sunburn as well as plantar wart, athlete's foot, ringworm, and other infections, and it also increases the risk of injury to your feet. Saying to wear shoes or flip-flops around pools. I'll continue to read on with this, but this seems like the generic, you know, responses I've seen before on these. And I don't really agree with most of it. So it's saying in the locker room or even carpeting to wear flip-flops to prevent injuries and limit the likelihood of contracting the bacterial infections. Remember to apply sunscreen all over your feet, especially the tops and fronts and ankles, and don't forget to reapply after you've been in the water. Stay hydrated by drinking plenty of water throughout the day. This will not only help you overall health, but will also minimize any foot swelling caused by the heat. Keep blood
That's
flowing.
That's an important
and periodic...
one. A lot of people don't always think about that, but being dehydrated can cause your body to retain water, and that actually can make it more painful to walk barefoot if your feet are swollen from retaining water. So it's very, very important to make sure you're staying hydrated. And some of these things that they're talking about, athlete's foot, ringworm, really are not as big of a risk as you would think they are. As long as your feet are dry and there's no open cuts in them, ringworms are going to have a very hard time getting into your feet.
Well, ringworm is actually a fungus. And, you know, people think of it as a worm, but it's a fungus. And, you know, same with athlete's foot. It's kind of like keep your feet dry. And how do you keep them dry? You don't put anything on them. If they're bare, it's like the difference between trying to grow something in a terrarium and out on a piece of concrete. You know, it's going to grow in the terrarium, which is like a shoe. But if it's open and dry, it just can't grow there. So I've always had a challenge with articles that point to that. So it goes on to say, some activities at the beach, lake, or river may require different types of footwear to be worn. To be sure, to ask, contact at each activity if specific shoes are needed. To be safe, always pack an extra pair of sneakers, protective water shoes. If your shoes will be getting wet, they should be dried out completely before wearing them to prevent just what we were talking about before, to prevent bacteria or fungus from growing. This is where it loves to grow. It's like steroids for them, you know, being inside of a shoe, especially a damp or wet shoe, which all shoes are going to be damp or wet because we sweat when we're in shoes. Goes on to say, if you injure your foot or ankle while on vacation or during an outing, seek professional medical attention from a podiatric physician. Many often only contact a doctor when something is broken or sprained, but a podiatrist can begin treating your ailment almost immediately. And then it starts talking about flip-flops are not good for extensive walking. They do not offer any arch support. This article is really goes against most of the things that I believe in. You don't need arch support. And the best way to damage an arch is to put something under it. Heel cushioning or shock absorption. Wearers may suffer foot pain due to the lack of arch support, tendonitis, or even sprained ankles if they trip. Wearers are also at greater risk of stubbing toes, glass cuts, puncture wounds, and having any heavy object injure their foot.
I'm just going to interject here. A lot of people experience foot pain from the lack of arch support when they're wearing flip-flops because people go from wearing these cushy shoes that have arch support in them and their muscles are weak and they're having to work for the first time in a long time. Flip-flops themselves are not the cause of the problem. It's because your muscles are weak and not being used. Just like if you were to all of a sudden start lifting weight, your arms would be sore. Your legs on a squat press machine, your legs are going to be sore if you haven't been using those muscles regularly. So that's a big misconception that shoes that don't offer arch support cause foot pain. It's actually the weakening of the muscles from not having to support themselves that causes the pain.
Exactly. And I've actually seen studies now where they're showing that by going barefoot, you can improve arch support. It actually strengthens it. You know, an arch is the strongest shape in nature. And if you think about an arch, and the best way to break an arch is from underneath, push up in the center. There's no, it's weak there. But on the top, it can handle all kinds of weight. It's the strongest structure you'll ever find. So you do not want to be supporting it underneath. It's the worst thing you can do, in my opinion.
Some of these tips they have about flip-flops on here are pretty hilarious. Do you want to read their safety flip-flops that they have here, John?
Sure. Let's see. This has been fun so far. So let's see. Do not wear flip-flops when playing sports or running. Do not wear flip-flops while gardening. Oh, you don't want to wear them while gardening or doing yard work. I agree. Take them off. You should be barefoot while you're gardening. They actually improve that the microbes in the ground are good for you. Wear sturdy, supportive shoes while walking for long periods of time. Don't forget to apply sunscreen. Again, when you use extra care, driving flip-flops can impair the control if they come off and lodge under the brake or gas pedal. That's that one I would agree with, just as we said earlier.
I took driver's ed as a teenager. We weren't allowed to wear flip-flops because they could come off and lodge under the gas. They did require us to wear, like, actual shoes. So I wore these little slip-on ballet flats for my driver's ed test, or my driver's ed classes when I was 16. But there were actually people that were driving in these big clunky shoes, and it's not safe. It's really not. But flip-flops especially,
yeah.
I've gone go-karting while wearing flip-flops, and the flip-flop actually did get the gas pedal stuck connected to a wall of hay bales, and it was not fun.
Wow.
It was pretty fun.
Was that because
yeah.
they were making, by chance, is that because they were making you wear something while you were driving these golf carts?
This was when I was 14 or 15, so it was back
okay.
when I was still pretty much wearing, like, slip-on shoes regularly. So we go to I don't even remember. Jacksonville. But they have go-karts.
Oh,
and,
Adventure Landing.
Yeah, Adventure Landing. Go to Adventure Landing and go go-karting. My flip-flop got jammed and the go-kart crashed.
Know it well. Yep. Been there quite a few times.
They also have a list of things you should take with you when you in case you encounter minor foot problems. And a lot of these I do agree with. I think it's important if you're going to be going barefoot to be prepared to deal with any sort of situation you encounter. And so I always have basically a first aid kit in my car and a pair of slip-on minimalist shoes in my purse that I carry with me. But this is a great, great list. Flip-flops, which, like I said, minimalist shoes that I slip on if I have to. Sterile bandages for covering minor cuts and scrapes, because it is common to get minor cuts or scrapes on your feet if you're going hiking through whatever kind of terrain, or even just I've nicked my toe on a shopping cart. I mean, it happened. Antibiotic creams to treat any skin injury. Emollient-enriched cream to hydrate feet. This is, I don't know necessarily that has to be an emollient-enriched cream, but it's very important to keep your feet moisturized, because especially in the summer, if you're going somewhere where it's very hot and dry, that can lead to your feet cracking. They recommend bringing blister pads or moleskin to protect against blisters. Not something you have to worry about if you're not wearing shoes, but if you are used to wearing shoes and you all of a sudden start going barefoot a lot, you do run the risk of getting blisters on the bottom of your feet. So just be aware and kind of ease into it. They recommend an anti-inflammatory painkiller such as Motrin or Advil to ease tired, swollen feet. Again, if you are transitioning into going more of the time, you will have tired, swollen feet because the muscles are working more than they're used to. Sunscreen to protect against the scorching sun, aloe vera to relieve sunburn. So I think that's actually a great list, the best section of that article. The rest of it was kind of uneducated.
Yeah, I was not enjoying reading most of that, to be honest. But, you know, it is kind of typical, though. I mean, that is the advice people have been given and ingrained in over the years. And I think that's why a lot of people are so against going barefoot. One of the things on this list I would add probably is a pair of tweezers. Occasionally I've gotten, you know, just a little something in my foot, and it doesn't even go through. I mean, I'm going barefoot with skin thick enough. But you want to get it out of there, of course. So I would probably recommend that as well. So I guess we can transition over to the high heel story, which, Sierra, I think I'll let you take. And I actually have an intro to that. I heard a saying once about high heels for women. It said, high heels will get you high, but it's painful coming down.
Yeah, that's pretty good advice. So this is from BuzzFeed, and recently this is a follow-up to a video they did. They have a series of videos of guys trying things that aren't normal for them to experience. They're called the Try Guys. They have all kinds of different things they have them try. They've had them dress in drag. They had them try a pregnancy, labor, and motherhood simulation series. They also did one where they made them walk around in high heels for a day. And this is a follow-up to that, how to wear high heels without killing your feet. And I just think it's hilarious that they have to create a guide for wearing these shoes that most women are expected to wear to the office every day. One other tip, educate yourself on the different types of heels. Apparently, there's like a bajillion different types. Lobster claws are scary looking. You can feel free to Google those. They're like the things that if you've seen Hunger Games, Effie Trinket wears them, and they're terrifying. Most of them are pretty normal looking, but that one scares me. They have an infographic of how to protect your feet. 42% of women admitted that they would wear a high heel, if they liked how they looked in it, even if it caused them pain and discomfort. 73% of women already have a shoe-related issue. It's crazy to me. They also say to pay attention to the slope of the shoe. Look for heels that have a gradual slope instead of a straight drop down, because that can cause problems. There's been an x-ray picture that's gone viral that shows what your feet look like inside shoes, especially high heels. It's terrifying. Apparently there's three different types of heels that every woman needs. Black pumps, neutral pumps, and statement heels. Yeah. I just think it's kind of ridiculous. And it says the more
I'm
open
sure you
the
have
shoe,
all
the less
of those.
Support it'll provide. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, you know me. I haven't worn a pair of heels in 5 years. Nor do I ever intend to wear a pair of heels again in my life.
Good for
they
you.
Are not comfortable. Yeah.
Maybe you can use them for hammers or something.
Yeah. And then they also have a tip to test if the elevation of the shoe is too much for you. This is important because it goes into the mechanics of why high heels are bad for you. So to stand straight up in the heels with your knees straight and try to lift yourself 1 inch out of the heels. If you can't, it means the heel is too high for you to handle and will lead to injury. They also have informative videos on how to walk while wearing heels. Heel, then toe, and it says to try to walk as normally as possible. The higher the heel, the smaller your wants to strive to be. This, seriously, it sounds like a torture device. Yeah. Tips and tricks. If the shoe isn't comfortable when you try it on, it's not going to be comfortable hours later. Added bonus, just don't wear them and they won't be uncomfortable. They have all sorts of different like products that you can use to pad them and make them more comfortable. Wrap band-aids around your toes so you don't have bleeding feet. Yeah. That's crazy. So can we just all agree that high heels are being tortured?
And you know, there's nothing that can make you safely walk in them, because when you change from walking barefoot, you're at a 50-50 weight distribution. As soon as you go up even the slightest bit, that changes dramatically to the point of a 3-inch heel makes it 90-10. 90% of your weight is bearing down on those very small bones in the front of your feet.
Crazy talk. We do have Proof on the air with us, so I'm going to bring him on now. Hi there, Proof. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem. It's nice to talk to you guys again.
Hello there.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks.
I missed you guys last week. I was doing the March Against Monsanto event.
That's awesome.
So I was in Tempe, and, of course, I was giving up flyers for the Barefoot is Legal group as well as for Freedomizer, and we gave out well over 100 flyers.
Good deal.
I had zero people yell at me, and everybody that took a flyer was talking about how they thought there were laws or how they got kicked out of a place and they thought there was a law and they would like to go without shoes again, and they were happy to know that that there was no laws against it. So I still feel I'm right, where the average person just doesn't go without shoes due to lack of knowledge.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely believe that.
A lot of people. It's just an issue of not being educated about the benefits and the legality of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much out there that talks about, you know, the health laws and all these other things that don't exist, that people are ingrained in that and believe it. You actually see people posting something saying they went out even though it was legal and illegal. So where did you get that from? Yeah. So
I did have somebody that said they were at a library in Tempe the day before, and they were standing in line and took one of their feet out of their flip-flops and put it on the other foot. And one of the employees came up to them and told them that the staff could get arrested if she didn't put her shoe back on.
Oh, God. Crazy.
Wow.
That's insane.
So, I wonder how many employees people have just to watch for that to make sure nobody gets arrested.
Yeah, seriously. that's serious business there. We better have someone watching all the customers coming in, make sure they've got shoes on so nobody gets arrested. But seriously, who's this pops on your arrest?
Yeah, she was mad because she said it wasn't like I didn't have any on. I was just standing in line. And then they tapped me on the shoulder and told me that that I can't do that. And she just thought that was weird.
It is weird.
That's a bit of an extreme example, but I mean, you talked about proof about a lady in a restaurant you heard about that.
Yeah, at a Cracker Barrel. Yeah, right, sitting right next to me. Not directly next table, next door. Yeah. Yeah, they told her to put her flip flop, her toes back under the flip flop strap, because she could drop a fork on her foot.
Yeah. Well, and as we've been talking about, flip-flops are not the answer.
No.
Well, they are when it's 115 out in Las Vegas, but that's about it.
Well, yeah, there are, like we talked about earlier.
I can go to about 102 or so, and it's going to be 102 today. That kind of tests me, and a good rule of thumb for me is try not to go outside after 12 or before 8 o'clock at night. So if I'm going to run errands, it's going to be in the morning.
Yeah, being aware of your climate is very important.
Yes, it is. Here in Florida, I've had similar, but typically I can hold up pretty well. Blacktop's the only area I could be careful with for me, and you learn to find the white lines in a hurry.
Well, you also learn how to park right in front if you really want to go to Subway for lunch. You just learn how to park right in front where you only have like two steps, and then you're on the sidewalk.
Yeah, that definitely helps as well. But I actually, as I think I mentioned in a previous show, was at a charity event I'm part of a pet rescue group, and spent the entire day out on blacktop. And I had to get off it a few times, go inside, you know, just get away from it. But I was surprised when I came back. I had built up a tolerance again for some reason. I was really amazed. I was able to go back out there quite a few times and spent the entire day that way.
I will say I did find in Phoenix, or in Tempe, I should say, they have my favorite donut shop, which is called the Fractured Prune. And you make your own donuts.
Like Subway style make your own donuts, or you actually get to go there and make them yourself?
Well, Subway style, I guess. They have all the toppings, and you tell them what you want on the donuts.
That's so
cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, so you can have peach flavor with some chocolate sprinkles and graham cracker crust and coffee cake topping. And then the next one you can have lemon with chocolate sprinkles or rainbow sprinkles, or mix in mint and orange if you want. It doesn't matter.
Wow.
It's just fun.
Yeah, we're pretty boring here in Florida. It's more like Krispy Kreme. They're all going to be glazed.
Yeah. We're Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. Yeah. they're becoming more popular down here. That was more of a northern thing for the longest time.
You don't have Whataburger yet in Jacksonville, do you?
Yes, we do.
Do you?
Yes. Haven't been in one, but we do have them.
Well, because when I lived there, there wasn't any.
Yeah, they're here. Definitely here now.
Yeah, I did run into one with no issues. It's somewhere along the drive. I don't know what city it was in.
Yeah, but we do. I don't think I've really been in one, to be honest. There's one. It's up off of University, I believe, down in that area.
So for the listeners who are kind of confused right now, John lives in Jacksonville, Florida. Proof and I both used to live there, so we're just kind of reminiscing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to like when they used to have a radio station, 93.3, Planet Radio. Was alternative music back in the 90s.
MMR at the time?
Yeah. And I guess they still have the eighth down there, 95.1?
Yeah, I believe so.
See if we can get one of their radio stations.
Those are the only two I remember.
Yeah, I can't think of too many of them. I don't spend a lot of time on the radio anymore. These little handheld devices have made the radio kind of a little obsolete for me.
Yeah. So, Sierra, or John, I don't care, has there been anything new on the website recently?
Not really. We're still in the process of gathering letters from the health department. So far, we've only got one from Minnesota. We haven't heard back from
any
other.
Yeah, I just haven't gotten started, and I was busy last week, and this whole week I've been busy with my Bell's palsy. It's been slowing me down, but I'm still working. Still doing radio. It's just each day my speech is getting better and better.
Well, that's good.
That is good. Yeah, I did see that you had that going on.
Yeah, nothing like emceeing an event and being up on stage in front of 12 or 1,500 people or whatever it was, and you're there talking, and then all of a sudden there's words that you want to say that just physically won't come out of your mouth.
I just had my wisdom teeth out on Tuesday, so
I saw that.
Tiny pain, mouth packed with gauze and couldn't talk for a whole day. But
see, I feel like that because I had my wisdom teeth taken out on my 21st birthday, actually, of all days. And most people go out celebrating, and that's how I celebrate. I'm wild and crazy.
Get a medical procedure done. Woo!
Yeah, I remember having mine out and then going to work. Not the smartest decision. Mm-hmm. I worked in the evening at the time. Yeah. Not recommended. Not recommended.
Yeah. I'm afraid
to know what I was saying, though, because a roommate of mine at the time drove me home. And he said he was cracking up a lot, laughing from all the things I was saying, you know, when I was out of it. So I really don't want to know what that was, I guess.
Well, I just did the local numbing, so I was fully mentally conscious for all of it, including the part where they had to, like, cut my tooth in half to get it out. That was unpleasant.
Ouch.
Kind of wishing I'd gone for knockout gas at this point.
No, I went for the deep sleep. I mean, I literally woke up at home. So.
Yeah.
But
well, I see we had a few new members join the Barefoot is Legal Facebook group. And my goal, as we all know here, is that this isn't just a group for five or six people to post in. I want to create an activism group. And I want to empower people to be at a health fair and give out flyers and discuss the cause. It is so easy sitting at a booth to discuss this with people. Everybody will talk about it. When they pick up a flyer, they'll tell you where they go or where they've been and where they've been kicked out and stuff. And that's what we need.
Yeah. I had a similar experience when I did One Spark down here. 2 years ago and handing out flyers, you know, showing the benefits and myths. Mm-hmm. I had a flyer that on one side had the benefits, on the other side had the myths. And, you know, people were really surprised, you know, that you could tell that from talking to them, most people had the same beliefs about the myths that are out there, or thought it was illegal, and the health codes, the whole bit. Of course, you'd hear about OSHA and, you know, okay, occupational safety hazard if you're not working
yeah.
there. Even so, they're even in OSHA, it's very specific to specific types of jobs. So, you know, it was just surprising how little people were, you know, aware of. But again, just like an article we were reading earlier about, you know, flip-flops, and, you know, people are bombarded with this information, you know, talking about, you know, getting athlete's foot from going barefoot. No, that's how you don't get it. You know, it can't live there. Yeah. But it's always the opposite. And it's actually, you know, notable people saying it sometimes, people you'd want to trust, a podiatrist or something.
Yeah, but the thing is, people feel like they're better than somebody just because of what they're wearing. And it's just sad and stupid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, getting the message in the studio that we need to get off the air so the next show can start. But thank you, everyone, who joined either by calling into the show or listening online. We always appreciate our listeners. We've got great topics for you next week. We're going to be talking about injuries caused by shoes, especially athletic shoes, how to prevent injuries while either wearing minimalist shoes or barefoot, and some of the shoe prejudices that are out there in the world today, people being kicked out of places for not wearing shoes, even though there's no health codes about it. Make sure you tune in for that next week. I'll be here. John will be here. Proof might be here. He likes to drop in on us sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would like to come on the show and talk about places you've been kicked out of, that would be great. We welcome you. You can call in live to the show, or you can email me, Sierra@barefootislegal.org, or tweet @barefootislegal. To get directly to the Barefoot is Legal Twitter, and we will hook you up, get you on the show. Got the red light in the thing in the studio showing me we've got about a minute left, so just want to thank everybody for listening again, and have a great week. Stay barefoot, stay safe, enjoy your summer.
Hey,
and
Sierra, let everybody know what show is coming up next.
The show that is coming up next is Sabbath Hour, I believe. Is that correct, Proof?
No, Minister Emmanuel, the Sound Doctrine Ministries is coming up next.
Sound Doctrine Ministries. There you go. There you have it. So if you're listening on freedomizerradio.com right at noon Pacific, make sure you refresh your page so that you can get that show. Otherwise, we'll just replay that one. And as much as you love me and I love you, I don't want to take away from another show's listeners. So that's all for this week. Make sure you tune in next week. It's been a great show. We'll see you next week.
Bye, all. Have a great week.